Warning, this episode contains brain food that will lead to improved emotional and social intelligence. Thanks for tuning in to Harvesting Happiness today for a healthy serving of consciously prepared brain food. This is Lisa Cypress-Kamen, your host. For more than 13 years, I've been handcrafting these sound ideas for better well-being. Each week, I love spotlighting diverse thinkers and doers who are contemporary trendsetters and change agents, devoting their lives to creating a better world in which to live. I invite you to listen up and change the way you think about human happiness. Our award-winning content is fresh, optimistic, and purpose-driven media that promotes well-being from the inside out. Alrighty then, let's dive in. This episode offers psychosocial education designed to inspire and motivate our listeners. The information provided does not constitute a therapeutic relationship nor a substitute for professional mental health care. If you are experiencing a mental health crisis, call 911, go to your nearest emergency room, or for listeners in the United States, text 988 for the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are. Thanks for joining me on today's show, where we will engage in cool conversation about hot flashes, navigating menopausal hijinks. My guest today is Dr. Mary Claire Haver. She is a board-certified doctor of obstetrics and gynecology and is certified culinary medicine specialist from Tulane University. She is a Louisiana State University Medical Center graduate and completed her obstetrics and gynecology residency at the University of Texas Medical Branch, also known as UTMB. She is also a certified menopause specialist through the Menopause Society. Dr. Haver was a clinical professor at UTMB and the University of Texas Health Science Center at Houston. She has served as a hospitalist, associate residency director, and assistant professor in her career. In 2021, she opened Mary Claire Wellness, a clinic dedicated to caring for the menopausal patient. Amen. You need to franchise that. Because there are enough of us all over the planet that you could help. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about you for a moment and what led you to making a career shift from traditional obstetrics and gynecology to focusing solely on menopausal care.
Well, my personal experience in menopause, sadly, was the first clue that there was a vacuum in care being offered to women. You know, one of the biggest regrets of my career is not recognizing that gap until I personally went through it. And then at the same time, my patients, who we were all roughly the same, not all, but in general, my patients were roughly the same age. We had babies together. We had toddlers together. We were going through perimenopause together. And so I was seeing this recurrent same complaints over and over again that I was also starting to experience. And when I started digging into, is this all there is? And is hormone replacement therapy really that dangerous? I realized that, you know, there was a lot of data out there that was not being presented to us in our CME, in our continuing medical education. And when I thought about the amount of time I spent training on menopause in and of itself, I realized it was just a tiny sliver. I think I maybe got 6 hours of lecture on menopause in a 4-year curriculum, and there was no menopause clinic. So in a traditional OB-GYN residency, which most in the US follow the same kind of cookie cutter curriculum, we do slightly over 50% in obstetrics, which is important. Like everything I did learn was first rate and amazing. There's just gaps. And So, you know, in the gynecology half of the pie, half-ish, you know, slightly less than half of the pie, we have fertility, which includes reproductive endocrinology. We have all the gynecologic issues, emergency surgery, which would be, you know, hysterectomies and, you know, irregular bleeding and adolescent gynecology, pediatric gynecology, oncology, all that, vulvar, vaginal, ovarian, uterine cancers, you know, and then there's, hello, menopause. So while I trained, hormone replacement therapy was a normal part of discussing with a patient, like at her well woman exam. But at the very end of my training was 2002, when the Women's Health Initiative was released. And that put an abrupt end to any discussion or learning, at least for a generation of you know, learning physicians and healthcare providers around the discussion around hormone replacement therapy.
It was kind of a non-starter for me as I went through it. Like my doctor would say, well, you want some?
Yeah. Go ahead and take it if you want it.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. I'm like, well, first of all, I don't understand it. And I've already slogged through it now. So what's the point, you know?
So when I was approaching menopause and my patients were, the kind of thought process that I had at the time, which is how basically the evolution after my training of what had been presented to me by the American Board of OB-GYN and talking to other practitioners was, well, if nothing else is working, like first line therapy would be an antidepressant, but she's not depressed. Right. Well, give her an antidepressant. It'll help with the hot flashes. And she's probably depressed a little anyway, because most women are. I mean, literally, this is all in her head mentality. And okay. And then, okay, then you can try clonidine, and which does help for hot flashes, you know, but like defining menopause by the presence or absence of a hot flash is one of the major problems with menopause
care
in the US.
There's so much more. I mean, there's so many other things that happen to us.
So, you know, here I am trying to practice as a general OB-GYN and teaching. It's hard. It's hard for all physicians, all healthcare providers. You know, the time we're allowed to be and sit and talk to a patient is shrinking by the minute. And then we have to do all our documentation so that they can bill and get paid. And really, physician, you know, OB-GYNs get paid for delivering babies and doing surgery and procedures, not for sitting down face to face and talking to patients. That's not where you really make your money. And so the vast majority of menopause care is a discussion. You know, it doesn't require surgery. It doesn't, you know, require a procedure. It really is picking apart all of her symptoms, ruling out the other things that can have some like hypothyroidism or an autoimmune disease, and making sure that this is really menopause. You know, this takes a very long time to help a patient, and we don't have standard ways to diagnose perimenopause or standard treatment options for perimenopause. So I'm sitting here like in the middle of all this going, this is not okay. These women are suffering. And my job as a healthcare provider is to eliminate suffering, and simply dismissing her and saying it's all in her head, it's psychological, here, take an antidepressant, is not right. And so I started kind of talking a little bit about this on social media, and the world exploded. You know, the tens of thousands of comments I was getting on these posts were just really mind-opening to me. Because remember, I'm in a patient room one-to-one. I'm right. Also seeing OB patients, you know, pregnant patients, adolescents, got, you know, and my older patients are few and far between. I think most of them gave up and just didn't bother coming, you know, for menopause care. So it's not like I'm seeing this dramatic pattern like I was on social media and all of the feedback I was getting. So, you know, really my explosive growth on social really helped guide some of my opening my mind to these other medical issues that might be connected to menopause.
And, you know, it's such a life experience, a life transition, you know, when we move from perimenopause to menopause. I mean, it's like a lot of things happen.
Mm-hmm. And it's a very unique expression from patient to patient.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it walks like a duck, we have the saying in medicine, which is said on other, you know, professions, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's a duck, you know, and it's like, don't look for zebras when you hear the beats of horses, like go for the most common things. And I think menopause was always left off the horse list.
Well, because it was like a shameful thing. Maybe there was shame around talking about
a woman aging. Yeah. Was shameful.
Yeah.
So still
there's a lot of shame around aging. It is getting better, but I think as we age, we actually get better. I mean, I'm okay with that. You know, Same. There are some upsides to all of this too, right?
Yes.
So let's talk about some of the more common and unusual menopause symptoms.
Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool. The lack of menopause care, this vacuum. Remember, 2 or 3 years ago, of the 85% of women who went to their physician complaining of menopausal symptoms, 15% were offered any treatment at all, and 4% were offered hormone replacement therapy. The rest were given other pharmaceuticals, even though hormone replacement therapy is the gold standard treatment for menopause. So So we have this huge vacuum of care. And there were these really savvy entrepreneurs who were going through this themselves and said, hey, there's an opportunity here for us to develop a telemedicine companies to serve these menopausal women who can't find care at their physician's office, no matter what they do. So these companies are exploding and seeing lots and lots of patients. And so they're collecting data. So let's get back to the data. So it's really fun to look at their data as the chief complaints. And this lines up with my patient practice, which, you know, is small. So, but again, so the number one complaint of menopause is not hot flashes. It's in the top five, right? So we know that 85% of women will have hot flashes to some degree.
Oy.
But more common than hot flashes is body composition changes. So new onset of abdominal and visceral fat, okay? That is usually associated with weight gain. Okay, outside of just aging, this is menopause related, musculoskeletal pain. And for 20% of patients, it is the worst symptom.
Wow.
Yes. Okay.
How interesting.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Hot flashes is up there. Headaches is one of the top ones. New onset or worsening of migraine headaches is, you know, definitely a symptom. Disrupted sleep, always in the top five. You know, severe sleep disruption. But things that we've discovered in the last few years are the, like, as far as symptoms go, and we can talk about health risks later where you're not symptomatic, but things are happening without you realizing it. Vertigo, definite correlation to menopause.
Wow.
Yeah. Frozen shoulder, part of the musculoskeletal syndrome of menopause.
That's
frozen shoulder, hip and back pain. Vertigo, and I'm going, and my brain's going, oh, brain fog. That's like in
brain
the top
fog,
five.
Yes. Brain that's fog. Like, that's high up there for many of us.
Top five. Yeah. I usually, when I start talking about it, I go organ system to, or I start from the brain and I work my way down. But what's happening in the background and what will resonate probably with a lot of your listeners is that if you have had an unexplained jump in your cholesterol, you've done nothing different, nothing diet, nothing exercise, you know, you're no new supplement, whatever. And you're like, what is happening? Menopause is happening. Menopause is independently associated with a negative change in your lipid profile.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. But completely dealable with diet, exercise, and medication if it's needed.
So here's the interesting thing about when we look at the differences, you know, a lot of what's been heaped upon us is all of the research that's done on men. And they just assumed it would work for women too. Women were excluded until 1996 from the majority of studies. All this cardiovascular data that came out in the 70s, 80s, 90s, there were no women of reproductive age in these studies because cycles may, you know, having a period may skew the data. So statins, for example, for a woman with menopause-related elevated cholesterol, I'm not talking about a familial hypercholesterolemia where at 25, your number was up, okay? I'm talking about you were fine. Then all of a sudden, late 40s, early 50s, boom. For that subset of the population, a statin will lower your cholesterol, but it will not decrease your risk of death from cardiovascular disease. The only medication taken in that window of early menopause that will do that is estrogen.
Oh, interesting.
Is hormone replacement therapy in the form of estrogen plus or minus progestogen.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. So organ system, I mean, it's amazing. And that, and so we know that women who are given hormone replacement therapy or have a later menopause have a lower risk of cardiovascular disease than women who go through earlier.
Oh, and give the range. I think it's important for the listeners to understand the range of what's considered early and what's considered late.
Sure. So this is where we can skew the data a little bit, you know, depending on how you talk about it. So we know that for women within 10 years of their last period, within 10 years of their menopause, okay, you've got a window of opportunity, at least 10 years. Okay. It doesn't stop. There's nothing magic about 10 years, but that's when they did the measurements. Okay. For women who begin hormone replacement therapy within 10 years of their menopause, they have cardiovascular protective benefits.
Wow.
And within 5 years, neuroprotective benefits for dementia.
That's incredible.
So what we think is that estrogen is naturally protective in and of itself. It, you know, estrogen surrounding a cell makes a healthier cell. Estrogen interacting with a cell makes a healthier cell. When that estrogen is taken away, that cell becomes less healthy. When you give the estrogen back, it depends on how sick that cell got. It may be helpful and help get it somewhere back to its range, but it may not. It depends on where that cell is in the body. So I think the conversation around, you know, how old is too old or when should you stop hormone replacement therapy? We really have to shift that narrative, you know, and it's all about the time away from estrogen and then the detrimental effects that has done to your body and if you can get yourself back.
So we are going to take a pause. And when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation with my guest today, Dr. Mary Claire Haver. We're talking about menopause, hot flashes with a cool conversation, navigating the menopausal hijinks. To learn more, go to thepauselife.com. On Facebook, The Galveston Diet, Mary Claire Haver, MD, and on Instagram at Dr. Mary Claire. Here comes that break. We'll be right back. Wait. Before we take that break, I want to remind everyone how much stress, even the day-to-day craziness, impacts our bodies and overall well-being. Think breakouts, bloat, thinning hairlines, and sleep. Just like our skin, the condition of our hair reflects our overall health, and there are internal factors that can affect the way that our hair looks, feels, and grows. And that's why I use and love Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Thinning is different for men and women, and that's why Nutrafol has 5 different formulas for different lifestyles, including plant-based diets. These are tailored to what your hair needs based on biology to grow. Take their hair wellness quiz at Nutrafol.com for a personalized plan based on your specific root causes. Physician formulated with drug-free ingredients, Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within to multi-target the key root causes of thinning, including stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, and metabolism through whole body health. In clinical studies, 86% of women saw improved growth after taking Nutrafol for 6 months, and 72% of men saw more scalp coverage after 6 months. I've been using Nutrafol religiously for more than 2 years. My hair is thicker and healthier because of Nutrafol, and remarkable side benefits include better sleep, improved stress response, and a significant reduction in those pesky menopause symptoms, including hot flashes. No matter your lifestyle or stage of life, Nutrafol is a great solution that targets the root causes of thinning and supports hair growth from within. Simplify your self-care with easy online purchasing, no prescriptions or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day, and you'll see results within 3 to 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code Harvesting. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Harvesting. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Harvesting. Now let's take that pause. We'll be right back. Research tells us that happiness is good for our health. Happy people live longer, are more productive, and make better partners, parents, and professionals. Want more sound ideas for better well-being? Check out our new bonus edition content, More Mental Fitness by Harvesting Happiness, available exclusively on Medium and Substack. One thing I know for certain, happiness waits for no one, and at times we all need a little support. To learn more about lifestyle management and mental fitness consulting services, please visit harvestinghappiness.com. And we're back with my guest today, Dr. Mary Claire Haver. We're having a cool conversation about hot flashes and how to navigate menopausal hijinks. Let's get back to it. Dr. Mary Claire, let's talk about finding a provider, because you've kind of piqued my interest and no doubt the audience, the listeners, are wondering how we can find a provider to help us with menopause, with hormone replacement therapy, because doctors don't often offer it.
So it's difficult, I'll be honest. In 2024, you cannot count on your wonderful OB-GYN who delivered your babies and has taken care of you for years to be educated enough in menopause care to be able to have an informed conversation with you. I would definitely broach the subject with them first, and hopefully they'll be honest about it. And if they categorically dismiss the opportunity for you to have that discussion, they're probably doing you a favor rather than you spending the money for the copay going in and then being gaslit. So I would call ahead and see, is she going to have a discussion with me about hormone replacement therapy and my options? If she says no, ask for a recommendation of someone who might. If there's no answers there, and this is all very possible, I have a couple of resources. One, on our website at thepauselife.com, we have a physician referral database, which is basically my followers on social media, my patient and my students in the program have written testimonials for wonderful doctors that they saw and are, you know, recommending them. So you can check there, and we've made a little spreadsheet for you to go by state.
That's cool. Fantastic.
Also, the Menopause Society, where I'm also certified, has a list of certified providers on their website. Neither is perfect. You can't 100% guarantee that someone who bothered to get certified in menopause medicine will give you an informed conversation, but it's a very highly likely that they would. If that still doesn't work, there are some wonderful online options. Now, these companies don't pay me to say this, and I've vetted them myself because my reputation's on the line, but there's three that I really like. MIDI is more of a, M-I-D-I, MIDI is more of a traditional model. And you go, they'll take your insurance, they give you a traditional prescription you can take to the pharmacy to get filled. And then there's two other companies. One is Alloy Health. The other is Evernow. And they have practitioners who will meet with you online and then decide if you're a candidate for hormone replacement therapy. And then they will ship it directly to your house. There's also an option to use your insurance as well. Wow. So those are fee for service, but it seems, their medications are affordable. I mean, they're very much in line with what you pay at the pharmacy. I think these are wonderful options for a patient who has nowhere else to turn.
This is fantastic. I want to make sure we hit all the points that we need to talk about because we're quickly running out of time. I would love to get into the risks and benefit of estrogen therapy, but I think you have to come back and we'll talk more about it because I want to get to the toolkit, talk about the diet, and then your forthcoming book. So
sure.
We've got a lot to get to here in the next few minutes. Let's talk about the menopause toolkit because this is great.
Sure. I mean, I wish I could tell you that hormone replacement therapy or menopause hormone therapy is a magical wand that'll just wave away all of your menopause issues. You are still an aging patient and we're going to get older. And so when I talk to my patients about their healthcare, I mean, hormone therapy is just one tool in the toolkit. We talk about nutrition, optimizing that. We talk about exercise, both cardiovascular and resistance training. We talk about sleep optimization. We talk about stress reduction. We talk about supplementation in case there's any gaps in their nutrition. And all of that works together synergistically to get you to your best health.
Fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about the toolkit though, the menopause toolkit.
In our toolkit, you know, I usually start the conversation with whether or not they're a candidate for hormone replacement therapy. If they're not, which is very rare, actually, most women are great candidates for HRT. Then we'll talk about, like, for example, we have to break it down symptom by symptom. You're having hot flashes. Okay. There's clonidine, you know, there's other medications. Yes. Some of the antidepressants can be helpful here. So we really just break it up into, if they're having joint pain, we'll talk about supplements around there that might be helpful to decrease inflammation. What things in their diet can be exacerbating that as well. And then in clinic, our toolkit is I have a body scanner in my office where I can measure their muscle mass and their visceral fat. And it really helps me guide even deeper things that would be helpful for them to age.
This is great.
Healthily.
Really cool. And let's go on to the diet. Because you are interested and have expertise in culinary medicine, I'm very interested about what you have to say about this, how the impact of nutrition on symptoms.
So my initial toe in the water of all of this was formulating a nutrition program for my patients in midlife who were struggling with unexplained weight gain. And that formulated itself magically into the Galveston diet, which is a three-pronged approach. One is anti-inflammatory nutrition. So really helping patients understand what foods in their world might be inflammatory and what foods we know are naturally anti-inflammatory and how to like build up your nutritional, you know, armamentarium with filled with things that fight inflammation and trying to limit the things that don't. We talk about intermittent fasting as a tool for lowering inflammation. It's not a great tool for weight loss, but it can be a powerful tool for a lot of patients who are struggling with inflammation. And finally, we talk about fuel refocusing, which is really zeroing in on protein levels, fat level, you know, your macronutrients and where those levels should hit based on their body composition and what might be helpful to them.
That's fantastic. Let's also go to your upcoming book, because you talked about your journey to this place where you're focusing your practice on menopausal care. You have a book coming out. You have one that you've already published about the Galveston diet, which talks about, you know, eating properly and caring for ourselves through food. Talk about the new book, The New Menopause.
So The New Menopause was, you know, born out of people begging me on social media to explain more about menopause and what's happening to their body and why are they being gaslit. So, you know, the first, say, you know, 20% of the book is really the history of menopause as menopausal medicine and why we've gotten to the state we are, that it's very unlikely for you to receive adequate care just from a routine visit, and what we can do about it in the future. We talk about promising new research that's coming out. Then we do a deep dive into hormone therapy and what options are out there, what I would recommend. Kind of, I go through my protocols in clinic and how I treat patients. And then finally, the whole last half of the book is the toolkit, where I take symptom by symptom. We go from brain to toes on everything we know connected to menopause that might be happening to you, and then what strategies you can use to alleviate those symptoms, to include hormone therapy and other options as far as pharmacology, supplementation, exercise, et cetera.
Fantastic. There is a wealth of information on Dr. Mary Claire Haver's website, thepauselife.com. You can find her on Facebook at The Galveston Diet, Mary Claire Haver, MD, and on Instagram at Dr. Mary Claire. I'd love to have you come back and we'll talk more about all of the above, because we need this information for our physical and mental health.
I would be happy to.
Great.
Thanks for joining us on Harvesting Happiness today. This is Lisa Cypress-Kamen on behalf of my guest, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, wishing you kind thoughts, kinder words, and the kindest of actions. Until next time, remember, happiness is an inside job. Happiness is your inside job. Please go out and rock your day, and remember to be kind to one another. Want to take a deeper dive into sound ideas for better well-being? Check out our new bonus edition content, More Mental Fitness by Harvesting Happiness, available exclusively on Medium and Substack. Keep harvesting your own happiness anytime, anywhere, from the comfort of wherever you are. Subscribe, listen, and share hundreds of downloadable episodes from wherever you get your podcasts. Connect with and follow us on most social media channels. To learn more about lifestyle management and mental fitness consulting services, please visit harvestinghappiness.com. Harvesting Happiness and More Mental Fitness are produced by me, Lisa Cypress-Kamen, Andrea Mengele, Robin Boyd, Andrea Daly, and the awesome team at Podfly Productions, including Eric Begay, Kimberly Beck, and Alec Guess, in collaboration with TogiNet Radio, KBUU, RadioMalibu.net, and is available on PRX, the Public Radio Exchange.